This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link. I'm so glad you're joining us today. We're going to have a wonderful, fun show. We're going to be talking to writer, cartoonist, illustrator, and author, Jen de Oliveira. And Jen's going to talk to us about her latest, Pip and Pals, Outer Space. So we're going to talk about Pip and the gang and the challenges. I won't give it all away that Pip faces. And then, of course, we're going to pick Jen's brain a little bit about, okay, how do you become a master illustrator, cartoonist, and write great books at the same time? So we'll definitely pick her brain and get the information so we can learn how to do it. Probably not as good as Jen, but we'll try. We'll try. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Talk to the paw.
Hi, this is Amy Shearer.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Moore.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is writer, author, cartoonist, and illustrator Jen de Oliveira. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tim. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. And I love the book, and I love the artistry that goes into it. And the book, the latest book is called Pip and Pals, Outer Space. I said that, outer space. It's Outer Space. That's a play on words there, too. So tell us a little bit about Pip and what the format of the book is without giving all the way the great bits.
Yeah, so it's my latest book. It's my third book that I've made, and all the books I've made so far are early reader graphic novels. So they're comics for kids in elementary school age. I used to be an elementary school teacher, so I love writing and making books for that age range. But this one is a new series called Pip and Pals, and it's about a river otter named Pip who lives on the coast with all her little coastal pals. And in this particular book, Pip goes for a swim one day. She's not the best swimmer and gets a little tangled up and emerges from the water with green fur. And so her pals think about it for a bit and conclude that the most logical conclusion must be that she's from otter space and she's a space otter.
And I love that. I love the aspect. And we won't give away the ending. You know,
right.
You know, is Pip really from outer space or what happens there? So we won't give away all the clues and stuff. But the book, as you mentioned, it's the third in the series. How do you go about structuring the series? I mean, do you have all the ideas in place? Do you have the main characters in place when you're doing this? Or is it sort of as you go along on what you think the next logical situation is going to be for the characters?
Yeah, this is the first book in the series. It's my third book that I've made.
Right, I'm
but
sorry.
There is, though, that's okay. There's a sequel coming out next year. And yeah, the funny thing is when I first kind of set out to write this book, I knew it was going to be about an otter named Pip. I knew she was going to be an otter like no other. So she's a little different. But it actually took a while to find its form. So Outer Space, when I first set off on it, actually had nothing to do with outer space. She was a pal. She liked pretending with her pals and going on adventures, and something wasn't quite clicking. And I just kept thinking of outer space and how, you know, kids would probably enjoy that play on words. So it kind of took a turn into this new story. And the second book is going to have a little bit different spin, with actually a little bit more like of an ecological focus. Because when I set off writing this book, I did visit, I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. So I visited our aquarium, and we have a marine mammal sanctuary nearby. And so visiting those places and seeing all these beautiful animals, you can't appreciate them without also understanding what's happening with their environment. So I kind of wanted to touch on that. And that is a little bit in the second book. It's still got silliness and goofiness, but yeah, the second book is a little bit more focused on kind of an ecological theme.
Yeah, trying to get a message through. And the aquarium and the wildlife locations in San Francisco are fantastic. And San Francisco in general, you know, put a jacket on when you go down by the pier, but you're going to see all the wonderful sea lions and all the wonderful things down there. And Jen, I was just planting a seed for your editors. I project 3 in the series.
I'm hoping for 3. So thank you for putting that out in the universe.
It was not a mistake by me. I just did that. Yeah, right.
No, I love it. Thank you.
Well, I love that. And I love the purpose that you're trying to make a fun, entertaining, you know, characters and a storyline. And I could see the kids in my neighborhood, you know, reading it and saying, you're from outer space. I could see that, you know, that's sticking from there. But I love the fact that you're trying to get a message out in there without, you know, being too hard on it.
Yeah, I think from my experience as a educator, I love, my favorite part of the day was reading with kids and doing a read aloud. And so I really wanted the book foremost to be entertaining, because I want kids to kind of just really lose themselves in reading and really enjoy the story and connect with the characters. And then I think you could always have those other little things, you know, under the surface. This book, Pip and Pal's Outer Space, is of course about Pip's journey of trying to figure out, is she from outer space or is she not from outer space? But it also has a theme of belonging and feeling a little bit like an outsider and leaning on your friends. So that I think kids can relate to as well.
Yeah. And I love that. And that's the latter part you just had mentioned, obviously hit me, you know, these Pip has a set of friends and everybody joins in to try to figure this out. And most of all, help Pip out, you know, as friends should do. And I love that message and the fact that, and it's an assortment of friends, you know, we're talking, you know, different types, not just a bunch of otters running around.
That's true. Yeah. That's something that when I was setting off on the series thinking was Pip, you know, one in a group of otters. But it just kind of came together that is this ensemble of different different creatures that are actually kind of native to the San Francisco Bay Area. So we have river otters. Her best friend TJ is a tern, so he's a little seabird. We have a seagull, Gully, of course, and then a little crab, hermit crab Herman, who has a passion for fashion.
I love it. I love it. Now, the characters themselves, when you're putting together a book like this and you're looking to go with the second book, and as I projected, the third book, we'll keep going and going
Thank you for that. Those good vibes.
Yes. Yes. When you're putting this all together, you structure it as more of, you have a main character and you're building a cast around it. And then if there's a cast around it, friends around it, we'll say, will the friends stay the same or will there be new ones come about?
Oh, that's a great question. So yeah, Pip is kind of the main character. And then she has her little core team of pals, who I just mentioned. But in the second book, I did think about, like, can we expand the friend group a little bit? So yeah, she actually will meet a new pal in the second book, and her new pal is a sea otter, because I thought you can't just have a river otter in the book because sea otters are so popular too. So actually we'll introduce a sea otter friend, and he is kind of a little bit of a swim instructor and has a little group of pups that he's trying to teach swim lessons to. So there's a few new little otters that we meet in the next book.
Yum. I love that. I love that, in fact. And we got otter, they're like cousins, but they're from different parts of the environment, world, area.
Yeah.
You know, river otters do act different than sea otters, obviously.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a great message for the kids as well, to learn along about all these wonderful different creatures. So the book itself, Pip and Pal's Outer Space. This is a type of book where I see it being on the shelf and being pulled off the shelf multiple times and being able to be read to your kids, the students, these type of things. How do you structure that part of it as far as when you're putting together the design of the book to get the kids, you know, because it's a competitive market, but you want to catch them and get them hooked into the characters. Is there a way that you go about designing the covers and the setup of the book to initially get their attention?
Well, it all kind of starts with the story first. So the story, I definitely start with a character, and I want the character to be endearing. So I mean, what's not to love about river otters? But also Pip and her pals are kind of, they don't have an age really, but they're very childlike. So, I mean, the fact that they're letting their imaginations go a little wild and thinking that it's feasible that she could be, you know, from have a home planet and be from outer space, I feel is something that kids can relate to, like letting their imagination go wild. So definitely it starts with kind of structuring the characters so that they're appealing to kids and also relatable. And then the graphic novel or comic format is just something that suits me as a storyteller, because I like to have a lot of visual humor, a lot of little tiny like Easter eggs. So if kids, like you said, are rereading the book, they can go back and make those connections and see those little tiny details. And then as far as the cover design, that gets a little more collaborative, where I work with my team and my art director, and I'll kind of give them some sketches and then they give me feedback. So it takes a few rounds to kind of figure out what design is going to be visually standing out and kind of works for from there. Like they'll even share it with the marketing team and give feedback before I design the final cover.
Nice. I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and talk to Jen D. Oliveira a little bit more about the book Pip and Pals, Outer Space. And then I want to talk to Jen more about writing and writing comics and how it's so easy to do. That's what we'll do. It's not easy. It's not easy. But everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to Communicate with Animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises as a method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Rejoining me now, is author, cartoonist, writer, and she's also the creator of the Reggie Graphic Novels, which were the Junior Library Guild Gold Standard Selections. So she knows what she's doing. Of course, we're talking to Jen D. Oliveira and about her latest book, Pip and Pals, Outer Space. Now, Jim, we were talking a little bit about putting together the book and the design and the graphics, and how do you get the kids' attention at first, and then how do you keep their attention? You've had a lot of experience in this, obviously being an educator, being a cartoonist, now you know putting together all these great illustrations inside of a book. How do you go about crafting your overall work? So when you're going to sit down and put together a book, you have a concept, you mentioned you have a main character. But does the cartoons come first? Does the storyline come after that? Or is it a combination of things?
Yeah, a little bit of a combination. I think, you know, I have a lot of friends who are cartoonists as well. And I feel like we all have a little bit of a different process, which is kind of nice. So the way my brain works is it's a little bit of both. I definitely have an outline. I need to work from an outline for the story. But I also need to kind of know the characters and understand them. So drawing them really helps me. So I always have a sketchbook where I sketch out little scenarios and gags and things that some of those things work their way into the book, and then maybe some of them don't quite fit. But that really helps me in the beginning phases. And then once I have my outline set, I start to kind of do what are called thumbnail sketches. So really rough, tiny drawings of the entire book. And when you're working in a very visual medium, like graphic novels, it's interesting because sometimes I'll have, which is why I tend not to work from a really tight script, because when I'm sketching the thumbnails and placing dialogue, I'll sometimes realize that the dialogue is not necessary because the image can portray something better or in lieu of the dialogue. So there's a lot of kind of editing as I go. And it's definitely like a little bit of a juggling act, balancing the writing and then the drawing kind of shapes the writing. So it's definitely a bit complex, but also kind of fun and rewarding to see it evolve.
Yeah. And you mentioned it there, you know, you have a lot of friends that are cartoonists and their methods. I always find everybody has their own unique method.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Whether you're illustrating, whether you're writing graphic novels, novels, nonfiction, whatever it may be, there's different ways that really the writer and the author have to do what's comfortable for them to get their message out. And yeah, I've had some illustrators tell me, oh, I do all the illustrations first and then we wrap around the storyline. And others like, no, I got to have a good storyline and then I'll put the illustrations back around it. And I always find it fascinating. Do you find it easier to the way you go about crafting your work? Do you find it easier to be able to be the jack of all trades and be able to do the whole gambit? Or is it easier, do you think, to put together a collaborative effort with someone?
Yeah, I've never been in the situation where I've illustrated somebody's work. I think to me, that's a little intimidating because when I'm drawing, like I know what I'm trying to tell and I know, you know, kind of how everything's going to fit together. I think it would be for me a little intimidating to take someone's text and then try to figure out like the right imagery to go with that. But having said that, graphic novels are a lot of work. Pippin Pals is about 80 pages, and then the Reggie series also were about 80 pages each. And then with comics, it's such a process where you're drawing multiple panels on every page. You're drawing the characters over and over and over again, and you're doing pencil sketches and then inking them and then coloring them. So sometimes I do think like, wow, I wish I could just write this and hand it off to somebody else to draw maybe one day. But there also is something really rewarding about kind of seeing it from start to finish. And I've always been, I think maybe everyone is their own worst critic. So sometimes I feel like there's limitations in how I draw or how I wish I could draw. But I think it's really rewarding for me when I see kids reading the book and they'll say, oh, I really love Pip, or I love how you drew that. And I think it takes some of that pressure off knowing that the kids aren't really looking at it under a magnifying glass, like scrutinizing it the way that we might scrutinize our own work.
Right. As long as when you get to the second and the third and so on down the line, you don't leave out their favorite characters or change the storyline. You're okay, because kids will catch you on that.
Oh, yeah.
As you know. Well, I think it's brilliant. And, you know, if you have the skill set, which obviously you do, to be able to be a great writer and a great cartoonist and combine the work. And, you know, to me, not downplaying someone who goes outside and does illustration, et cetera, because, you know, it is oftentimes a collaborative work and it is hard work. But if I'm holding up the book and I'm saying, look, I did basically everything on this, minus maybe some advice and editing, but basically this is my baby from scratch to finish. You know, I think that would add another layer of feeling really good about what you've accomplished.
Yeah. I'm actually working on a series that's not Pip right now, but fingers crossed more Pips will eventually come down the pipeline. But this is a middle grade graphic novel series. So it's a longer book for a little bit older readers. And because of the length of it, I'm going to have a colorist help me with the coloring. So I'm basically going to draw it up until the ink portion and have the color. So that'll be my first time really collaborating with someone else, having a big visual impact on the story. So I'm kind of excited to see how that works.
Excellent. And you're going to put animals in it of some sort, right? At least one
yeah.
animal. Great.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. It's just really quickly, it's called Nummy Chum. So it's these kids that kind of fall into like a video game world, but the girl's dog, Wolf, gets sucked in first. So yeah, Wolf is kind of the heart of the story. So yes, absolutely have to be animals in there.
Yay. Because animals sell books and be animals. If you have a book that about animals, you can come back on my show. So
oh,
it works
perfect.
Out real well for
okay.
me. Works out real well for me. And I love the fact you're doing a middle-aged book, because that is sort of, at least from who I interview, that's a hard niche, because it's such a small window as far as the age group is concerned. But it's night and day between writing, you know, something for children's all the way up to, you know, teenage, you know, that little gap in there. There's a big market for it, but there's not a lot of great people putting stuff out there, in my opinion, or at least I found it very hard to find authors that come on that write in that niche.
Yeah, I hope I can get it. I think so. I was a little intimidated first because in my education career, I've always worked in primary grade. So like first grade, second grade, that's really who I had in mind writing the Reggie and Pip series, although it can be enjoyed, I think, for older elementary kids as well. But this new series is for more upper elementary. And I was intimidated because I've never taught like fifth grade or middle school. And it was a little intimidating, but I did teach after school comics classes for a while. And I had some fifth graders in there that at first I was really intimidated because they're like as big as me and they're, you know, not quite as innocent as the little 7 year olds, but they're really sweet and really, I found them just so funny and clever. And so they inspired the kids in this story. So yeah, I'm hoping, I feel like that's been such a really important part of my creative process is being in touch with kids and knowing how they talk, how they act, what they like, so that there's that authenticity in my work.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the fact you're stepping outside your comfort zone a little bit, but you're learning, you know, while you're teaching. So I think that's fantastic because you and I were talking offline, you know, being surrounded by kids, it really keeps you humble. It keeps you honest. It adds fun to your life. And, you know, I always find it fascinating the things that they think are fascinating that maybe perhaps as we get older, we take for granted.
Yeah. So, and I think to kind of connect with the pet theme too, there's something about kids and animals that can just fill you with so much hope and so much joy. And it's just something so pure about it that I think like if you have pets in your life or like animals and kids, that's just the best. It's the best to kind of see things through their eyes.
That's right. And if you're going to act like a kid, you better have some around, right? That's my excuse. That's why I keep all the kids in the neighborhood around because I act like them anyway. So it doesn't matter. Well, Jen, where can people find out more about you, the book, keep track of all your fantastic work that you do?
Well, thank you. Yeah, my my website is jendoart.com, jendoart. And I'm the same as my Instagram account, jendoart on Instagram. And yeah, I have resources for kids on my website, different little videos, how to draw, principles to hopefully keep them entertained alongside reading the book.
Nice. I love that. So we'll get that posted so everybody can take a look at all that wonderful stuff and learn from the master herself and keep track of what she's got going on because there's a lot of wonderful stuff. So once again, the latest book is Pip and Pals, Otter Space. Jen, thanks so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure. I love the book. I love what you're doing. So just keep it up and we'll definitely have you back on and chat with you more about it. And we got to figure out what else is going on with Pip. So we'll keep track of Pip as well.
Her sea otter friends right around the corner. So yeah.
That's it.
Thank you, Tim. It was fun chatting with you.
Oh, my pleasure. Coming to the end of the show today, I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, drop us a line. You can go to petliferadio.com and we're glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows. It is a cornucopia of swimming, finned, otter fun. How about that? It's at petliferadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights, Pet Life Radio. Have a good day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.